Welcome to the Defence Forces podcast, brought to you by the Defence Forces Public Relations Branch.
Hello and welcome to the Irish Defence Forces podcast. My name is Captain Cian Clancy, and today, as part of our series discussing the cadetships of our three services, we're chatting to Captain Gráinne Kinnealy, an instructor in the cadet school, the Curragh Camp, about the process of going from a civilian to officer cadet to army officer. Thanks for coming on, Gráinne.
Thanks for having me, Cian.
So when we were talking about doing the podcast, we thought we'd just structure it into some of your own background. We'll go into the cadetship itself, how training is split up into the various phases and kind of what you're expected to learn and how you develop from phase to phase and what the point of each phase is. And then we'll finish with an outline on the requirements for the application process. Okay. So first of all, we want to hear a bit from your own background. Obviously, what is it now? It's seven and a half years ago, or is it more?
Seven and a half years, yes. It's the two of us walked in.
Since we walked in the gate as fresh-faced, people didn't know what we were in for. But for those, Gráinne and myself, were in the same cadet class together, so we trained to become army officers together. But do you want to go into your own background a bit, Gráinne?
I suppose before I actually joined the Defence Forces, I attended UCC, so I was essentially a graduate when I joined the Defence Forces. I studied PE and maths in UCC, and I was a qualified secondary school teacher. I actually worked for 2 years teaching in Waterford initially, and then down in Wexford for a year before I on the second time of asking, applied again for a cadetship and was lucky enough to be selected as a member of the 89th cadet class. Mm-hmm. So late September in 2012, myself and yourself, Cian, would have arrived into the Curragh Camp, fresh-faced, wide-eyed, and started out on a journey. Started off as a member of the 89th cadet class after 15 months of intense training. We had a great day in January of 14 when we got commissioned as commissioned officers. And then I was lucky enough, blessed to be commissioned to 3rd Infantry Battalion in Stephens Barracks in Kilkenny, where I suppose I really learnt my role and my job as a commissioned officer in the Defence Forces. Since becoming commissioned officer, I was commissioned a lieutenant. I've had the opportunity to work in Defence Force headquarters in recruitment competitions. I've been involved in a lot in induction training, so I suppose that's where the PE degree maybe came into the teaching background. I've been involved in recruits, or 2 to 3 star training, involved in cadet training here in the cadet school, and I was also involved in the first Defence Forces employment support scheme, which was an initiative from the white paper whereby we just took in a group of civilians and put them through 10 weeks of military and civilian training to kind of equip them with skills and life skills to maybe improve the opportunities for employment, etc. On the outside. And then I also had the opportunity to serve overseas with the 54th Infantry Group in Undaff in the Golan Heights, which was obviously the pinnacle of my career to date.
Which is an amazing experience, I'm sure, as all of our overseas trips tend to be. So that's a very varied career. You've obviously gone through an awful lot of things, but there is a definite focus there as well, though, on training people. And so this seems to be the path that after the completion of your own training that you've gone down. So I'm going to use the phrase again that I learned the last time in the Air Corps podcast last week, that you're kind of a poacher turned gamekeeper. So you've had the experience of being a cadet here in the cadet school, and you also now have the experience of being an instructor. So what is your specific role here? Is there a specific thing that you train people in, or what's the role you have here in the cadet school?
Yeah, I suppose one of the perks of that job is that we know all the hiding places from when we were probably here as cadets. My current role now, I'm an officer instructor. I would have joined the staff of the cadet school in 2017. I would have been a lieutenant at the time, just home from overseas. So at that stage, I came in as a platoon second in command, or a platoon 2IC. So it was an opportunity for me to understudy my platoon commander in command of a platoon of cadets. From there, then I progressed into becoming a platoon commander myself. And then eventually, I'm now in the current role of company second in command, or company 2IC of the current cadet class. So I suppose the platoon commander is very much responsible for the training, the instruction, and the oversight of the platoon. And as the company 2IC, I'm probably one step removed from that now, in that me and the company sergeant are working in the background, ensuring that all administration, logistical, all measures are put in place to ensure a high standard of training and to ensure that we're assisting the platoon commanders and achieving the company commander's mission in what we're doing with the cadets.
Okay, and I remember from my own training, from regard to like a class 2IC, you have an awful lot of contact with them as well. That's the role that kind of makes everything sort of kind of happen in the class, like it oversees.
Yeah, there would be a huge need for, I suppose, I meet with the cadets once a week, every week at a minimum. The whole point of that would be to discuss with the cadets, maybe from one step removed from the actual instruction, but discussing what they've achieved in the week that's gone before and what they have to look forward to in the coming week and also in the coming weeks and months in relation to their training and the various areas that they're going to cover in their training. There's obviously a massive duty of care role from the company to IC as well. So you're there as a support structure to not only the cadets, but also to the staff of the cadet school as well.
We're going to talk in more depth now about the training itself, and we've kind of split it into a number of phases, which we have the induction phase, the development phase, the empowerment phase, and the synthesis phase, which are the four phases of cadet training.
Yeah.
Obviously, you've trained recruits before. What is the major kind of difference between training recruits and training cadets? Is it just simply the length of time? Or?
I suppose it is the length of time, but it's also the end product, for the want of a better description, but it's the end product that we want at the end from our officer cadets. There's an expectation on the cadets that they're going to be junior leaders in the organisation, and with that obviously comes massive responsibility. So we need to ensure that the cadets that we bring through our training have the necessary character, competence and leadership ability to be able to adopt that role. That's the focus of the cadet school, is to develop leaders of character and competence because of the responsibilities that will be on their shoulders later on.
As a commissioned officer, as essentially a kind of a junior leader and a management rank in the Defence Forces. And
exactly.
A lot of people outside, a lot of our listeners here who may not be in the military and may not know a whole lot about it. I mean, there's an awful lot of questions always about the differences and what is an officer. So we're talking about how does the cadet school define that?
So I suppose the officer, very much, you used one of the words there, it's the manager and it's the leader, as I already alluded to. It's the person who's responsibility for a number of troops and whatever resources may be under their command. So I suppose you'll see as we discuss the various stages of a cadetship, we start from the cadets being personally responsible for themselves and looking after themselves, being able to maintain themselves. And as they move through the stages of the cadetship, they then become more responsible, not just for themselves, but for their smaller teams, such as sections that they operate in, into bigger teams, such as platoon commanders they operate in. But they're not only responsible for themselves, but they're responsible for every member of that platoon or team, and all the equipment, resources, etc., that goes with that, I suppose, small unit that they're operating within.
So describe to me, you're responsible for everything that those under you do or fail to do.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah. That tagline still exists very much in the cadet school.
So just to kind of to roll back slightly small, but so let's just give an overview of, say day one. So for people that are thinking of applying for a cadetship and hoping to get an army cadetship, what is day one like? I remember we turned up in the drill shed, that big empty room down in at the bottom of the cadet school, and nobody knew each other, all standing around in suits. Just kind of give us an overview of kind of how the day goes.
Yeah, so the very first day of a cadetship is known as the induction day. Obviously, they're being inducted into the Defence Forces. It's an opportunity for us as a school to bring your families in, to show your families the institution that you're going to be living in and training in for the coming 17 months. You're brought to your accommodation, your parents or your family, your guardians are afforded an opportunity just to see the accommodation that you're going to be living in. Obviously, due to the nature of the training, it's billeted accommodation, so it's communal living for the first number of weeks or months of your training.
And obviously, just to break in there small bit on the ground, this is for people listening. Obviously, we're recording in a time when COVID-19 is very much still an issue for the country. What we're describing here is an ideal situation, is a normal situation, but obviously the Defence Force is following all HSE guidelines. But we're going to describe what would typically be done.
So for my cadet class, I suppose, who would have arrived 14th of October of 2019, when they came in, they came with their families, they were brought to their communal accommodation at the time. Following that then, they come down to the cadets. And it's a kind of a house that the cadets live in. It's the biggest house you'll ever live in because there's approximately 40 of you living in a house at a given time. But there's certain public rooms, kitchenettes, an indoor gym, etc. I'm painting a very lovely picture, but we know there, I suppose, it's not a holidays resort at all. But the families come down into the cadets mess, and here they're greeted with the cadet staff. They have an opportunity to engage with the staff if there's any questions, any queries. And also,
for a lot of people mightn't have any conception of this in their families, and they might know what this even really is.
Exactly, yeah. It's like we have different individuals coming on day one. You have some individuals who are actually previous serving in the PDF, may have been a private or an NCO within the Defence Forces who have applied to become a commissioned officer. You may also have members of the RDF who have experience as well of military institutions, so it would be familiar to them. But an awful lot of the people coming through the door, it's their first time coming through a military door. So it's an opportunity for us, I suppose, just to paint a picture of our organisation and how we operate, particularly as a training institution. In recent years, in fairness, it's become a quite a big event in that the Minister of State with responsibility for defence has shown up in order to greet the cadets on their first day and to meet the families and welcome the families to the organisation and the start of what is hopefully going to be a long career for many of them in the Defence Forces.
Okay, so families are down in the cadets mess and meeting the instructors and what have you. And then what kind of happens then? I remember there's a kind of a bit of a
The lovely kind of stepping stone into the organisation, there's a 10-minute warning given by the company sergeant, just reminding families that in 10 minutes the cadets will be asked to fall in, as we state. So they gather in a group of three ranks or three lines, and they're going to be marched off from their family. And I suppose this is a bit of symbolic of the individuals walking off into what is now going to become their new community and the new organisation that they're going to become part of. So they get their 10-minute warning from the company sergeants. Families say their goodbyes at this stage. All bags, etc. have been placed in accommodation. The cadets fall in under the instructions of the company sergeant. Obviously, we understand they can't march yet, so it's part and parcel of it. So they fall in, and then the company sergeant marches or walks, maybe to put it, describe it more appropriately, walks off with the cadets, and the cadets then commence their cadet training from that moment, and the families have said their goodbyes and
they head away home.
And they head away home, exactly.
into the loving embrace of the cadet school. So the induction phase, it's your very, very basic military training, as I understand it, from the very ground up. Do you want to give us just a breakdown of the kind of things that you'd be doing?
Yeah, so perfect. So normally the cadets join the cadet school in approximately September, October of the calendar year. From that period until Christmas leave, it's not what's known as induction stage. So we're inducting them into Defence Forces, and it's very much introducing the now cadets to military life, military lifestyle, military drill, military skills. There's not much of an expectation, should I say, on what the cadets know. We have to take it that we're teaching them from the very, very basics. And that's a given, because many of the individuals coming in have no military experience to date. So that's our responsibility as instructor staff, is to start from an appropriate level and progress the cadets accordingly. At quite a steep learning curve, but to get them through the paces of the induction stage. So what we cover in induction stage, the primary thing really is the military socialization. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is it's the transition of the cadet from being a civilian when they walk in the door to now being attested into the Defence Forces and becoming a soldier within our organisation. And it's the same military socialization that all recruits do, that cadets do as well. And it's just part of, I suppose, how we operate as an organisation and how we conduct ourselves. So that military socialisation, it involves many things such as inspections every morning to ensure that we're dressed appropriately, that we're presenting ourselves appropriately, that there's an air of professionalism, discipline and dress and deportment about how we're conducting ourselves. As well as that, there's also elements of unit interior economy that happens in the afternoon. So what's unit interior economy? It's
cleaning.
Yeah, it's an awful lot of cleaning, Clancy, you know it only too well. It happens in the afternoon. It's really after the programs of training has finished, after dinner. The cadets then have a responsibility to ensure that they are presenting the infrastructure of the cadet school in an appropriate manner, and that they're cleaning and they're presenting the cadet school with their best foot forward, ensuring that the highest standards are maintained, which is the expectation of the cadet school, of high standards. Realistically, what it is, it's a humbling experience. It's an experience that everyone does, from cadet to recruit, prepares you for at home or overseas, be it captains as we are now or senior officers. It's the responsibility that you have to look after your own patch and you have to brush out your own room, mop your own floors, that there's this humbling experience and this responsibility and discipline is placed on a cadet. And we start that from day one in the cadet school.
And also you're in close quarters from a cadet point of view with your classmates at this stage, and it's a good opportunity while you're here and you're not going anywhere else to learn about those people in your class, I presume.
It's a massive part of it. It's an opportunity whereby the two of you are there and it's in the height of November and it's raining and you're outside brushing leaves. But you're also having conversations, you're figuring out where each other's coming from, and you're building that esprit de corps and that teamwork that really our organisation is built on, and it's one of our Defence Force values that really we pride ourselves in.
And it's going to serve you later on in the course, and it's going to serve you later on in your career as well.
Exactly, and every member of the Defence Forces experiences the same experience.
As the military socialisation is taking place and you're getting used to basically being a soldier, being in the Defence Forces and being in this military environment, specific military skills in induction phase, what kind of, so I presume we started off on the square doing foot drill, and from there?
Yeah, so the whole point of induction stage is it's very instructional. You're told exactly what to do because you're coming in with very little experience. So what you cover initially, it's the inspections, it's the foot drill. Foot drill is obviously where you're marching around in small units, be it sections or platoons, and learning the basics of our drill as an organization. You're introduced to navigation and map reading, the craft of map reading. There's also some weapons training, etc. So you're learning all of the very basic military skills that every member of the Defence Forces require. This is done in small groups of approximately 7 to 10 cadets in a room with two instructors or two NCO staff. So there's a high instructor to student ratio within the classroom, which is very important initially. In addition to this, then you also have a corridor system that we operate. Yeah. So you might remember that, Keane. Yeah, it's basically your senior class. So the cadets who are already in the cadet school maybe a year by the time you're joining, and they're your mentors who basically assist you with learning all of these new things that's just been thrown on you.
Very basic things like polishing your boots, like how to iron a shirt if you don't know how to do that. Or
exactly, how to polish your boots, how to lay out your kit appropriately, how to wear your beret or shape your beret, etc. Things that normally you wouldn't learn in college or you wouldn't learn it in secondary school. So the senior cadets are there to mentor you through that, to assist you, and I suppose it's a little bit more of an informal relationship than what you would have with your instructor staff as well.
And maybe you feel more comfortable to ask questions that you might necessarily want to ask of
that stupid question that you perceive as a stupid question is probably not. Like, they're the people that you can turn to for that kind of advice.
So with regard to kind of weapons training, in the induction phase, the weapons that you cover are...
Okay, so you start off with your own personal weapon. So you learn the Steyr rifle. From here, then you develop into section level weapons. So you'll be looking at the general purpose machine gun, the GPMG, and then the grenade, the HE grenade, is also covered in the induction stage. So in the first 3 months of your training, you're learning your personal weapon, the main section level weapon. So operating within a section, your main fire support would obviously be the FSG, the fire as part of the fire support group, then the grenade as well. Aside to that, then you're looking at the drill, you're looking at field craft, which would be the basics of how we would move in a tactical scenario. So your camo, your concealment, your moving in formations, how things are seen, etc. So it's all of the specific military skills that all soldiers would require to be able to operate in a tactical situation.
Okay, so it's these kind of more basic things that you're looking to learn. And then onto like fitness. So obviously, coming in, people, like, what level of fitness is expected of people? Obviously, we'll discuss the application process, where there is a fitness test, but how do you start building people up to a robust level of fitness in the induction phase?
Yeah, so as you said, there's obviously an induction fitness test, and that induction fitness test requires 20 push-ups in a minute, 20 sit-ups in a minute. For a male, it requires the ability to run 2.4 kilometers in 11 minutes 40, and for a female, to run 2.4 kilometers in 13 minutes 10. So all the individuals coming through the door have passed that assessment. So that gives us, that gauges for us exactly where individuals are at. There is an onus on the individual to come in with a basic level of fitness. Mm-hmm. We don't need you to be Olympians or anything like that, but we do need you to be conscious of getting in that little bit of training before you arrive in a cadet school. And we initiate that when we send you out your joining instructions. We also send you out a training plan. That's normally between 4 to 6 weeks of training. And again, it's just to lay the foundations for you before you come to the cadet school. Obviously, it's our responsibility when you arrive to progress you from the very basics in runners wearing a t-shirt and shorts to getting you to where we need you to be, which will be a combat level of fitness later on in the cadetship. Later on in the cadetship. So in order to accommodate this, we're conscious of varying levels of fitness. So what we do in the first week or two is we actually use the Defence Forces Physiotherapy Department.
Yeah, which I think is very interesting. Yeah,
they're excellent to us. It's a great support structure that we now have. So the physios come up and they screen the cadets. So what we're doing there is we're trying to identify really early on any weaknesses an individual may have, any imbalances perhaps between their left and their right knees or something like that. A weakness that could potentially become an injury if we don't address this weakness early on in the cadetship. So then what we do is we facilitate time for the cadets in the evening, in their limited time that they have, that they can do the exercises that the physios have gone through with them in order to balance out any weaknesses that they have so that they don't become injuries further on in the cadetship. This is done in we have a small rehabilitation center in the cadet school, and the cadets are afforded the opportunity, maybe 45 minute period, maybe an hour period, to just focus in on them little weaknesses, to address them, and also to do any recovery from the PT sessions they've had during the day, try to reduce the impacts of injury.
So coming to the end of the induction phase, you've learned how to look after your uniform, you've learned how to look after kit and equipment, you have learned some of the basic weapons and some, you've learned your foot drill and you've learned some very basic field craft. What happens next? What's the next thing that happens, the next phase?
Yeah, so at this stage now, we will be confident as instructor staff that the individual is capable of admitting themselves and personal responsibility for themselves, and they've demonstrated obviously the character and the competence to personally maintain themselves in a military environment. So now the whole focus moves towards the leadership aspect of what we're trying to produce at the end of the day, which is junior leaders for the defence forces. So we then move into training that now focuses on small units. So I've referred to a few times there the section. So just obviously, you know, Cian, but the section will be a team of approximately 9 personnel, 2 people of whom will be in command, normally an NCO, and then obviously the 7 other members of the section as well. So we refer to it as a section. It's essentially a team of 9. So what we focus on in the next phase, which our next stage is the development stage, and it's developing our leadership skills within the section. So now you're learning how to not only be responsible for yourself, but responsible for all the individuals and all the equipment, kit, resources that that section has to maintain. So this starts off by progressing onto section level weapons, which would be the introduction of the SHRAW, short range anti-armor weapon, and also the M203 grenade launcher. So again, it's a section asset that you now have to be able to command and utilize in a tactical scenario. Everything else also progresses, so we're now moving on to the academic development of the individuals. So I suppose just to mention at this stage that cadets, while undergoing a cadetship, are also undergoing a diploma, a level 7 in leadership management and defence studies affiliated with Minute University. So we start our academic studies also in this period between the January and July, roughly, of stage 2. There's 2 key tactical exercises then that will test all of this weapon skills systems that they've learned, all of this leadership knowledge that they've developed, and the 2 big assessments then will be section field assessment and platoon field assessment later on in the stage.
So they're like a development of each other, basically. So talking about that kind of responsibility and being responsible for personnel in the section, obviously with that comes increased pressure and putting increased pressure on the cadet, but that's all part of the process.
Yeah, exactly. So at this stage, the cadets have proven themselves to be able to maintain themselves and to now move on to the development, which is the leadership side of it. So what we in turn do is put back onto them additional responsibility. So now the cadets will often be given certain appointments. There might be an IT cadet, so the cadet who's responsible for ensuring that the computer systems of the cadet school are up and running. Now, obviously not above their skill set, but just they have a responsibility that if there's an issue with a computer, etc., they have to report it to the necessary chain of command. We'd also have the introduction of a cadet captain. So the cadet captain would be the cadet who has really proven themselves to have the leadership potential. So they would be appointed as essentially the senior cadet within the class. So as a cadet captain, there's additional responsibilities and additional expectations placed on their shoulders.
Yeah.
So again, this is a reward for what they may have produced to date in the cadetship. As well as this, we're then moving on to the tactical, so the section field assessment, which is the first real tester for the cadets in this leadership role. So the cadets who have proven themselves have been given additional appointments, but this is now where everybody gets an opportunity to lead their team or their small unit of 9 people. So section field assessment, just to explain what it is, it's where we go through the very basics of an offensive action in green field tactics, whereby the section commander is in control of progressing their section across open terrain, knowing that there's a threat imminent as they move. The section commander then is responsible for reacting to an effective enemy threat to the front, and they then have to lead their section from their position through the area to their limit of exploitation and taking the enemy position on the way as well. So there's an additional responsibility and a huge leadership responsibility placed on the cadets there at that stage.
Of course, yeah. And these, say for example, section field and platoon field, they're very, very robust exercises. So along with this as well, you need to be able to lead your section while at the same time being under a lot of physical pressure. But the cadet school will bring you to a level where you can do that.
Oh yeah, so we talked about physical fitness in stage 1 and how we started off in our runners and our singlets and shorts. By the end of stage 1, we'll have our cadets in full military attire, carrying their own personal, being able to maintain themselves, displaying the necessary robustness and resilience, carrying their own kit. And this then leads into the section whereby you're not only carrying your own kit now, you also have to carry the section's kit, as well as reserve of ammunition, etc., the section may require as they go through their operation. What this requires is for cadets to be utilising the cover in front of them, to be getting down on the belt buckle, to be crawling. So obviously there's a huge physical demand on the individual. And that's what we've catered for in our PT sessions, where we've done specific battle PTs, specific battle runs carrying weight in order to build the cadets up for the section.
Within the development phase as well, you move from section field then from a tactical perspective up to platoon field. You want to talk to us a bit about what platoon field is then? You've passed section field, you've shown you can handle a section unit in a tactical scenario. Platoon field then is?
So yeah, the section field happens at approximately March of this stage. Platoon field then isn't for about another 3 months afterwards. So there's an opportunity for the bodies to recover by doing various sub-courses before we actually go into our platoon level tactics. And platoon level tactics then is essentially three sections operating as one, and you're now the platoon commander in command of the three sections. So you've developed from being in command of a section of 9 to now being in command of a platoon of approximately 31 personnel. Here again, the responsibility has obviously grown in that you're now moving more people across a larger terrain to engage more enemy as you move. So the responsibility is on the platoon commander to ensure that they have the necessary leadership ability, the necessary communication ability, the ability to communicate, and the necessary control, command and control over the situation.
There's a lot going on in that situation. Because I remember when we were in training, and like three sections moving at the same time, there's an awful lot to learn and an awful lot going on.
And there's a lot happening around the place. There's simulated casualties. The enemy who are waving a white flag and are putting their hands up. So then you have to go through your ROEs. Platoon commander has all of these moving parts operating in front of them, but they still have to have the ability to remain in control of the situation and be able to move their platoon through the terrain in an appropriate manner, ensuring that they're using the cover, the lay of the land as it is in front of them, to accomplish the mission that has been given to them by their company commander, which would be to reach their limit of exploitation, which is a certain distance to the front, and to have cleared the terrain between their location and that location.
Okay, so again, it's a very robust exercise, platoon field again. It takes a physical toll. And then at the end of platoon field, when we did, certainly you have your march back from the Glen of Famal, which back to the Curragh, which is a big moment in the cadet group.
Yeah, so there's a lot of things that each cadet class talks about as being the pinnacles, or the moments that they remember. And one of them in this particular stage is the route march back, which is approximately 30 kilometres from Cúil Mune Camp in the Glen of Famal back to the cadet school in the Defence Force Training Centre. It's a walk that's done by every member of the cadet class and the staff, carrying approximately 60 pounds, or carrying your platoon level equipment with you as you move from Cúil Mune back to the Curragh camp. Yeah, I remember it. I'm sure you remember it. It's tough. It's mentally tough. It's physically very tough, because you're already after doing a long exercise of crawling up and down ditch lines in the platoon field assessment that you did for two, 3 weeks. And now you're walking back 30 kilometres carrying a considerable amount of weight. There's no doubt that the feeling as you cross the sheep grids into the Curragh camp and turn left into the cadet school, that's the moment that will stick with you. It's not the pain that you went through to get there.
Where you're not sure if you're able to do it. But.
Exactly. But when you get in there, and often that is symbolised with the promotion of the cadet from being a junior cadet to receiving their senior cadet rank markings, which is their first promotion essentially within the organisation.
Your first kind of major achievement really in the organisation.
It's kind of an affirmation that you've proven yourself to this point, and then you go on your summer leave.
at long last. Just before we kind of come to the end of the development phase, there's a few other things. Like you mentioned that there's a number of sub-courses you do. What between section field and platoon field, what are those sub-courses? What skills are you learning there?
Yeah, so it's important, as physically robust as a cadetship is, we have to allow downtime. We can't overtrain individuals, because we're going to cause injuries, and we're not going to get the return that we need. So in the months in between section field and platoon field, the cadets go on to, develop their collective military skills. So as you alluded to there, they do a physical training leaders course, which trains them to be very basic physical trainers within the organisation, to do other courses such as a survival course, where they have to learn to maintain themselves on the ground with very minimum equipment over a prolonged period of time, and then other courses such as methods of instruction, which is where you become the instructor. So you've now gone from the induction stage, whereby you were instructed on foot drill, on weapons, etc., to now being the instructor qualified to deliver that instruction. And again, that's another sub course that we do, as well as a number of key ceremonials. And I suppose the cadets, a huge part of the development stage is the various national ceremonies that the cadets are invited and take part in, such as outside the GPO on Easter Sunday, Royal Hospital Caminham, and obviously Arbour Hill as well, another national commemoration. The cadets provide a guard of honour, which is, again, another moment of pride, I'm sure, Keane, any of the ones you experience
yourself.
It's a big moment.
It is, yeah. It is a very kind of, it's a very unique experience as well. And it just demonstrates as well, I mean, talking about all of that in the development phase demonstrates the huge variety of things that you're actually going to be doing as a cadet. You're going one week, you're crawling around doing tactical training and fieldcraft, to the next week you're preparing for a ceremonial, or you're possibly doing some academics, or you're doing a medical first responders course, you're doing methods of instruction. So you mentioned, Grania, like going through the development phase, that you also are given a flavour for other aspects of the Defence Forces, like different corps and things like that.
Yeah, I think it's a very important aspect of the development stage, that the cadets actually get an opportunity to go and see what the Defence Forces has to offer. So they spend a period of time in the Defence Forces Engineering School, in the Defence Forces Medical School, the Defence Forces CIS School.
The IT, basically.
Yeah, communications. And they also... So by going to these schools, they just see what the Defence Forces have to offer and some of the different skill sets. Some of them may very well find themselves being commissioned or...
into these corps.
Exactly. Yeah. Or at the end of...
Or as we do have now, you do have cadets who are definitely going to the engineering corps or are definitely going to the army.
Yeah, so, sorry, yeah, you're right. Since our time is after changing, now there's particular competitions for army engineers, army ordnance, army equitation cadets. So this is an opportunity maybe for those individuals to see what their corps will look like, and also for everyone else to realise some of the assets they may have at their disposal if and when they are commissioned at the end of their training.
Or who they might be working with in an operation overseas. And then you also do a period of adventure training as well towards the end of
so
the
phase. Obviously the training, it's very robust, it's very thorough, and it needs to be that way due to the nature of the role that we fail and the job that we do. It has to be like that. But I suppose in the Defence Forces as well, we're very good at esprit de corps and teamwork and morale. And it's important at home, it's important at overseas. And one of the mechanisms we use for that is adventure training, that you'd be aware of, Keane. So adventure training is an opportunity for the cadets for a week to go to be at Galway or to Donegal, as was the plan this year until COVID put a stop to that. But we were going to be going to Donegal, and the cadets were going to get an opportunity to do adventure activities in order to build their confidence, be it rock climbing, surfing, kayaking as well. Yeah, exactly.
So or that kind of thing. Like
it's a different collection of adventure activities that, number one, the cadets get a flavour of what the Defence Forces have to offer. Mm. Number two, it's a huge opportunity as a class to build a bond and to engage in these activities. And there's a huge aspect of the confidence side of it, whether it's the diving or the rock climbing. There's a fear aspect there for a lot of people, and this is an opportunity for them to develop themselves and progress themselves to get over that fear side of it as well, which is, again, another massive part of Defence Forces is that confidence building and confidence training.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And after that period finishes, we're into our summer leave.
That's it, 3 weeks of summer leave.
3 weeks of summer leave, okay, where the cadets are just released back to their families. Some of them go on holidays or whatever.
I don't think I want to know what they do. I know it's 3 weeks somehow.
It's their own time.
I don't think we need to know.
But then after the 3 weeks, are up, people have managed to kind of bit of rest and recuperation after a very intense phase in the development. You come into empowerment, which is the third stage.
Exactly. So we've done our induction approximately 3 months. We've done our development, which is near 7 months. And now we move into the empowerment stage. So again, like moving on to the development stage, the cadets in this stage have proven themselves. They've now proven they're able to maintain themselves personally, and they're also able to lead at section and platoon level in, I suppose, conventional, greenfield, straightforward tactics. What you see in the empowerment phase is where their leadership training, it now starts to expand into more complex platoon and even company level tactics, as well as more unconventional types of operations that the cadets may find themselves involved in later on in their careers.
Just for people outside, company would be the next denomination up.
Exactly. So where a section is 9 people and a platoon is 3 sections, then a company is roughly 3 platoons, is how we operate with it within the cadet school. And then they find themselves doing more complicated tactics, such as a defensive exercise, whereby now they may be establishing a perimeter and defence around a vital installation. So this is where they're digging in and they're building their trench systems.
And it's great fun.
Exactly, yeah. And they're bedding down in their trench systems over a prolonged period of time, awaiting an offensive action onto the vital installation that they're protecting.
Yeah.
So that would be a type of scenario. They also progress on to a patrolling exercise, whereby they're expanding from just offensive actions to now going out, establishing OPs, your recce patrols, your longer patrols, etc., all now evolving from just straightforward offensive actions, from the defensive actions, to being more active on the ground in a tactical scenario as well. And this then leads into more specific skill sets such as fighting in built-up areas, peace support operations, and even counterinsurgency type scenarios.
Try and give them a grounding in all of these various disciplines and these various sort of complex operations.
Exactly. We're really starting to prepare them for potential operations they could find themselves on if and when. That famous line, if and when they are commissioned.
Of course, yeah. And I'll be feeding in as well from the peace support aspect to serving overseas, which will be a huge milestone for them in their commission career if they should complete training. We talked as well, when we were discussing the podcast about the fact that a lot of extra responsibility is placed on these cadets who are now senior cadets, building up as well to week, which is a great milestone in the cadetship when their junior class will come in.
I refer to an induction stage that instruction, it's very instructional in nature in that the instructors tell you what to do and you do it. At this stage now, the training becomes more directional in nature. So as instructor staff, we direct the cadets in what to do, but the responsibility is on the cadets to achieve that. They're not being told exactly how to do it. They've been told what we need to be done, and then they need to find the means of accomplishing that. So it's very directional in nature. And this is important because they're now becoming role models for the next intake of cadets, the next intake of a junior cadet class that comes into the cadet school. They are now the corridors, like they would have had in their induction stage. They now become the corridors to show these individuals how to polish your boots, how to prepare your kit, etc., for inspections. So you're really seeing the responsibility being placed back onto these individuals now as senior cadets.
Okay, yeah, right. And just kind of with regard to the physical robustness side of it, that continues through the phases, obviously, because you have those tactical exercises that are still require that level of physical.
Exactly, element. Yeah. So in the development stage, we talked about two key exercises. Now, both of those exercises were maybe 2-3 weeks in duration. But what you find in the empowerment stage is you're either on exercise or else you're preparing to go on exercise. So there is a lot more of on the ground, as we say, so a lot more tactical activity in the empowerment stage. You'll find every month that there's a key exercise happening in that month, be it the defensive exercise, a patrolling exercise, a 2-week operations other than war exercise, a 1-week FIBO exercise. So the cadets are either on the ground or preparing to go on the ground for an awful lot of this stage. So there needs to be that physical robustness and resilience that's been building since day one in induction training through the development stage. And now in the empowerment stage, it's really their responsibility to ensure that they're maintaining their combat fitness, that they're maintaining themselves to be operationally effective on the ground in order to be able to support the operation and achieve the operation as well if they're in a command role.
So you're coming to the end of your empowerment phase. You're kind of really, you're really in it. You're really kind of taking over at this point, and you're more than used to the kind of routine of the cadet school, and you're more than used to everything that's going on. What then do you go into following that phase?
So now we're moving into the synthesis phase. So there's a natural kind of break in the Christmas period that comes there. So there'll be approximately 10 days.
Your second Christmas.
So this is your second Christmas, but this one's a lot more enjoyable because the end is in sight, as I'm sure you can remember as well, Cian. So when we got commissioned, it would have been January, but now due to the nature of the cadetship, it's a 17-month cadetship. So the commissioning is typically around March. Mm-hmm. So what you have is the last phase or stage of a cadetship, which is known as the synthesis stage. So at this stage now, it's somewhat cooperative in the nature of how the instructor staff and the cadets are working together. This is the transition of a cadet from being an officer cadet in training to now becoming a commissioned officer. This is where they get an opportunity to, I suppose, consolidate their leadership skills, and they're learning the real bones of what they'll do as commissioned officers. So they're learning the key crucial skills that they need, be it blinds disposal, which is obviously the responsibility of a commissioned officer.
Which blinds disposal, again, is just for people outside.
Yeah, so if you're on a grenade range and the grenade, for some reason, fails to detonate, then it's the responsibility of the IC of the grenade range, who is qualified, to go out after going through the necessary procedures and the waiting times, to go out and actually dispose of the blind or the grenade that may not have detonated. So you're qualified with that responsibility, and that happens in this stage. You're now qualified to run a range, so you're known as what's a range officer in command of a range or a range manager. So you're then responsible for ensuring the safe running of all ranges, all small arm ranges. So the weapon systems we would have talked to date, you're now qualified to actually conduct that range and to be in command of that range. That sounds like an awful lot of responsibility for someone who's still in training. And realistically, even on commissioning, when you do go to your new unit, there's still a lot of understudy steps that goes on as a commissioned officer in a unit, whereby you're like a sponge and you're taking in all the information.
Yeah, of course, like the atmosphere in a unit is different to the atmosphere in a cadet school, of course, but you're getting these sort of bare bones.
Exactly. So you're taught the rules, the rights, the wrongs of how to do it in the cadet school, but really the experience you get is once you go to a unit, understudying a more experienced officer who's possibly ran a range, etc. before.
So as we referred to earlier, the synthesis stage is interesting as well, because you can see the commissioning day in sight. So as you come closer and closer to the commissioning day, and it becomes apparent that you're going to successfully complete training, you will find out where you're going to be posted after training.
Yeah, so I suppose we fondly remember it as a stag, but it's the day that you are actually presented with your appointment in the unit that you are going to be posted to post-commissioning. So obviously it's an unknown to you. You don't know where you're going to be placed. Will you be placed in one brigade? Will you be placed in two brigade? Will you be placed in the DFTC? So a big occasion is met of it. The entire cadet school falls in. Before you're given your appointments, there's a number of key awards that are actually presented to cadets who have maybe performed best tactically throughout the duration of the cadetship, who performed overall to the highest standards throughout the cadetship, who performed maybe academically to the highest standards. So there's a number of awards that cadets are given. It's a tradition that happens every cadet class every single year, and it's presented to the cadets. And then the school commandant of the cadet school calls you up one by one and tells you your appointment. So I still recall being called up in the cadets mess. You would have been there as well, Keane, and to be told that I was going to be anti-armour platoon commander's weapons company in 3rd Infantry Battalion. That it's a big occasion. The cadets are called forward, they're presented with their PIP, and they're presented with the appointment as to where they're going to be posted. But unfortunately, the PIPs go into the pocket for the time being, because it's not until commissioning day that they actually officially go on to the show.
I remember, but it is an amazing day. You're obviously really excited. You're in such a particular environment, and the cadet school really does become kind of all while you're there. This is where you are. That culmination is something that's very, very hard to kind of describe, but it's an amazing day. So you've received your posting, and now it's starting to get preparing for your actual commissioning ceremony.
Yeah, so to celebrate, I suppose, the stag day, there may be a bit of a function in the cadets mess that night, a bit of food, a few drinks in the cadets mess, just to celebrate your postings to your various units. And then the following morning, all attention focus turns towards the commissioning day, which is the big ceremonial event of a cadetship. The commissioning in recent years has been taking place in Dublin Castle, and it's a massive occasion whereby your family and your friends are invited up, to witness you taking the oath, going forward, receiving your pips, receiving your swords as a commissioned officer. And then those two words that we've been probably waiting for us 15 months, for current cadets 17 months, and it's the ligamach. That your class officer who has been with you from day one to this day gives you the ligamach, and at that point in, you're no longer an officer cadet in training, you're now a commissioned officer in the Irish Defence Forces.
Which is an amazing day. And then you go off and you start your career in your unit. That's a fairly good breakdown. I think there's an awful lot of information there about the Army cadetship and what you actually go through, and the whole process to take you from that civilian who walks in and is marched off on the first day by the company sergeant to a commissioned officer at the end in Dublin Castle or wherever the ceremony is taking place. Just for those outside who might be thinking that this sounds like something they'd like to do, that it might be a career that they'd like to undertake, the application process. So at the moment, the 2020 cadets competition is open. And can we go through maybe like what the stages of the application process are?
Yeah, there's obviously on www.military.ie, there's the career section in there, and the application process is open. I suppose the main document two of us will refer to is the 2020 terms and conditions for a cadetship, which goes into detail each of the various stages. And they've changed slightly from when we would have applied. The overall process has
remained broadly the same. Obviously, there's educational requirements which are available in the terms and conditions, but the first thing that you will do is that you'll actually do an online application form and a online psychometric test.
Exactly. So you apply online, you submit your application form, and then a number of weeks later, once the competition closes, then an invitation email will be sent out to you with a link to your psychometric test. They also, I believe, they provide you with some material to help you prepare for that before you do the online assessment. So you do the psychometric assessment online, your results are consolidated at Defence Force Headquarters, and a number of applicants who are successful at psychometric psychometric test stage, are then invited to the Curragh camp to undergo various assessments that they need to pass in order to progress in the application process.
And included in that, on that particular stage, is the fitness assessment, which we mentioned earlier, which was, again, just for people...
Yeah, just to reiterate, so it's there's a certain BMI level that you have to reach. You have to ensure that your BMI is under 30 on the scale, and also you must do 20 push-ups in a minute, non-stop. You're not allowed to stop or take a break. 20 sit-ups in a minute, again, not allowed to take a stop. There is a rest pose that you can take. It's evident in the videos that are provided in terms and conditions.
Exactly. So there are links to videos posted online for how to do these correctly.
Yeah, and then for the run, it's a simple 2.4k run. For males, it's 11 minutes 40, and for females, it's 13 minutes 10. So you just have to cover the 2.4k in that time, and that's essentially what the fitness test, the induction fitness test, is. Also on that day in the Curragh camp, there's a number of other assessments that take place. So obviously you've done your online psychometric testing, but there just needs to be a confirmatory psychometric testing done, supervised in the Curragh camp. So again, you'll be brought to a room whereby it's equipped to conduct online psychometric testing, but this time it's supervised, just to ensure that you are the individual, I suppose, that's conducting the exam. As well as that, there's a group assessment, and focus of this then will be to see how you engage with other people and how you work as part of a team, which is obviously a huge part of working within Defence Forces, the ability to be able to work with others. You receive a job preview here from a cadet. So cadets brief you on the training, their experiences of cadet training to date, and also a newly commissioned officer will come back and brief you on what their role is as a commissioned officer, having gone through cadet training and now being commissioned.
If you are successful in that phase, it's the interview stage.
Exactly. So again, a certain proportion of those who attend the assessments in the Curragh will then be invited back again to the cadets mess in the Curragh to undergo a competency-based interview. So again, terms and conditions describes in detail the various competencies that have been identified as essential to become an officer in the Defence Forces.
And they look for, in those interviews, they look for examples from the potential cadet's life where they have demonstrated those
exactly, examples from school, examples from college, examples from work, examples from sports. So it's the onus is on the individual, I suppose, to have prepared examples in relation to these competencies.
You're successful in an interview, you're then placed on a panel, and then you're called for medical.
For medical, yeah. You're nearly there at this stage. So at this stage now, the pool that would have started has been dwindled down as candidates have been found successful at various stages, and a certain portion are called forward for a medical. Medical takes place in Brickens Hospital, which is a military-based hospital in Dublin. You're invited in a full assessment in relation to your eyesight, your hearing, and a full medical review by doctors as well. Mm-hmm. And they then either find you fit or not to be a member of the Defence Forces. And then comes the waiting period to see if you have been successful to be one of the applicants to be offered a position in a cadet class or in a cadetship.
So it is a pretty long application process. It does last over the summer, but it does have those specific milestones of going through group assessment and that kind of thing. And obviously, you alluded to it at the start, Ronnie, but like, it must be said that like, I didn't get the cadetship the first time I went I went three times. So for a lot of people, it won't happen on the first occasion. We would say to people not to be discouraged and to keep trying.
Yeah, definitely.
If you really want to do this as your career, then you'll keep coming back. And if you're not successful in the first year or even the second year when you try.
Yeah, I'm no different, Cian. I went for it the first year, I suppose. Just went for it. Maybe didn't do my proper planning and preparation for it. And I was unsuccessful the first year, but it was giving me a taste that, you know, this is something I am interested in. The next time I applied, I made sure that I had prepared myself for my interview, thoroughly prepared myself for the various psychometric testing that has to be done, and just made the extra effort. And to be honest, like anything in life, you have to make that extra effort.
So I think there was a huge amount of information in what we've discussed today for any potential applicant to looking to do a cadetship, or any interested people. I think there's a lot of people can get from it. Thanks very much for chatting to us, Gran. It's very much appreciated.
Yeah, great to see you. Thanks.
For our listeners out there, as always, please keep an eye on Defence Forces social media platforms and military.ie for further updates on the Irish Defence Forces. Serving members, as always, are encouraged to check out the members area of military.ie. As we discussed during the podcast, the Defence Forces Cadetship Competition is currently open until the 31st of May 2020. For information on all service cadetships, please visit the current competitions page on military.ie. Today's episode was produced by Gunnar Pádraig Sullivan. The Irish Defence Forces podcast will be back again soon with another episode. As always, to everybody out there, stay safe.